Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event. Welcome everybody to
Monk If You Love Wrestling Podcast.
Introducing first,
being accompanied by his best friend from wherever, weighing whatever, freshly squeezed,
T.B.C.
And now,
the best in the world, Mr.
Rizzo.
Welcome to the Honk If You Love Wrestling Podcast. This week, RB, TBZ, and myself, Mr. Rizzo, discuss the subject of bar for more professional wrestling when we talk about the Ring of Honor Supercard, Shibata versus Ospreay. Yes, bruv. And we find out what happens when you fuck with the final boss. Let's start the show.
Boogadoong, dink, digga-digga-dink, diddle-diddle-link, diddle-link, dink-dink-dink.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what you're going for, but you're going to have to tell us what you're going for on that one.
I was going for Roman Reigns, and I'm very bad at verbalizing those kind of songs. But, yeah. It's a lot of Roman Reigns talking about The Rock.
Yeah, I can only remember, like, here he comes now, down the stairs, he is coming to fight now. That's the only remember. I only Roman song I remember. The one you just... You just got to do like the lady where he's like scream where she's screaming, right? Yeah, that's the only thing that I'll know who it is. Anyway, welcome to the show.
I will say, I don't know if we'll get to it later. Anna Jay's theme seemed like a knockoff Roman Reigns theme, but Anna Jay just lost, so it doesn't really matter.
That's also always been her theme, though.
I don't remember her last theme.
It was her theme before she got involved with the JAS.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Roman Reigns has been the world heavyweight champion for over 1,000 days.
Oh, yeah. Well over 1,000 days.
So how you doing, Hawkers?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, should we start with some WWE stuff here? It's the oldest content we've got.
Let's
do it.
Sounds good. All right. Well, I know over the week you guys were posting in the group chat about this the Cody Punk kerfuffle on Raw. So why don't we start there? Because I've deemed this section a war of promos, if you will. Because when you guys first started talking about it, I actually never saw what happened. So I thought all this happened in one promo. And I'm like, huh, this sounds really bloated and stupid. Like, this sounds like the worst segment ever invented. And come to find out, it's actually two separate segments. Cody cuts a promo, is literally the intro promo about his match at WrestleMania. And as I heard it going on, I was like, where have I heard this before? This is sounding very familiar. You know, I'm gonna gloss over real quick to make my point about Cody versus Punk. You know, Cody has this little run-in with The Rock, which was super cool. And, you know, that goes off and Raw continues on. Then later in the episode, we come to Punk's promo, and all of a sudden I go, weird, he sounds a lot like Cody just now, but he's literally cutting the same promo, and one is better than the other because one is actually a super babyface promo, and the other one goes, Chicago, am I right, guys?
I mean, that's fair. I mean, there's an extent to say that to what extent is the CM Punk, hey, I'm from Chicago promo. Where does that line up with the MJF, you know, hey, I'm everybody's, I don't know. I may have gotten off the topic there. I thought that they both tried to cut babyface promos, and the difference is, Cody Rhodes is a legitimate white bread, blonde haired, blue eyed babyface. And CM Punk is just CM Punk, who's going to get a pop from the Chicago crowd and will have a certain number of people who are going to love him and a certain number of people who are going to hate him.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
I didn't see that much of a comparison between the two, other than the both of them just being like, The CM Punk seemed like he was beloved because he was in Chicago. Cody Rhodes is beloved because he is the hottest babyface in all of professional wrestling, possibly in our lifetimes. In our adulthood.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan in our lifetimes was also a super hot blonde haired, blue eyed babyface. But I think that the purity. There's something special about Cody Rhodes. Last week, he had a promo where he was crying and he was talking about his mom. And normally, I feel like the cynical modern fan would hate that shit.
Yeah, but CM Punk talked about April, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, CM
Punk. That was sarcasm. Who the fuck is April?
That would be his wife, AJ Lee. It was an eaten pussy joke.
I got the joke, but it reminded me of when he was in AEW going, hey, Chicago, let me throw out random person's name that nobody fucking knows who that is except Chicago people.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, that's all. I get he was making a dick joke because he said his mouth works, meaning he sucks dick. But anyway...
That seems unfair. I think there's a number of cocksuckers who would say they're a lot better at CM Punk is.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. What? Did I say he was the poster child for sucking cock? No, I just said that he does. I just said he likes to suck cock. No one said anything. No, I'm not calling him a JT, all right?
Hey. If he's true to his name and TVZ is calling him out for it, he does have a tagline. Best in the world.
It's true.
So if you're going to do something, you better be doing it right. So I guess.
Anyway.
So
I think talking about those two promos, we have Cody Rhodes before the Final Boss came out and CM Punk before Drew McIntyre came out.
CM Punk just trying to make sure everyone knows where he's from and then antagonize people and undercut shit.
What was his promo besides, hey, people are talking about me and I'm just going to talk about them? Not that I'm in a match or anything, but also, do I want to be in a match?
I think there's been a lot of discourse since Monday about how much of a spotlight hogging hack CM Punk may or may not have been. I think that is a valid concern, but when you compare, I think that is just like a Homer babyface promo versus I am the greatest babyface in modern wrestling, Mr. TBC.
I want to push back by saying that, you just said something about CM Punk. Oh, stealing the spotlight? I don't agree with that. I honestly felt like CM Punk was a sore thumb in this fucking promo, and I'm like, why is he even here? Like, Drew McIntyre comes.
That's what he's talking about. He's trying to steal the shit, and he's getting in the way instead of all the other guys to have the spotlight.
What? How do you steal? I mean, this is his promo. He was cutting this promo. How do you steal a spotlight when they're like, this is your time?
You're no longer injured.
Because he's not in a match.
Okay.
You know, he's
in context of the promo, I don't see him stealing the spotlight because this is his time. This is WWE saying, hey, Punk, here you go. You can talk for this amount of time.
But he had started himself to be the special guest commentator during a match that he's not in, and he was supposed to be in before he got injured. That's the only reason he's there. And he's like, I have to be relevant. I have to be on the card. You got to make sure you know I'm here.
Mr. Rizzo, you didn't hear Mr. Punk during his fucking promo saying the universe wants him there. Everybody's talking about how they want CM Punk as a guest referee in this match. Didn't you hear him?
That's a lie.
What?
CM Punk lies?
The state of Chicago, the city of Chicago wants to speak to you.
Yeah.
The city of Chicago and the state of Illinois in the United States of America in the planet Earth.
How dare you?
Welcome to Earth, Mr. Punk. Here's what I'll say about that promo. I have seen... We've had some discussions off the air. I have seen discussions about how he is a no-talent hack taking up airspace. What I will say, and what I said initially, is this. I feel more interested in the Rollins and McIntyre storyline than I did previously, because it created a stake that wasn't there. For 6 weeks, we've been hearing Drew McIntyre say, "Seth, your eyes off the ball. You're thinking about The Rock. You're thinking about the Bloodline. You should be thinking about me." And for the first time,
kind of ironic.
And then Punk comes out and Drew McIntyre was obsessed with him, which I think it added a little bit of spice there. Do I think that CM Punk went too far? Yes. Do I think him jumping on the ground and trying to count to three to prove he could be a referee was bullshit? Yeah, I think it was. And I hope he did re-rupture his arm. Why? Because he is exactly what his name says he is.
I don't think he did, though. He was very careful about it.
He's a punk.
You're right.
He is a punk ass.
Oh.
I hope he comes back and is. I thought Drew McIntyre's line about, "For a straight edge, you spend a lot of time in rehab." That line was so good it made my dick hard.
Best line was when he quoted Eminem at him.
Yeah, the Eminem line was actually really good too. That was a really good ending. That's what made the whole promo for me come together, because he ended it perfect with the saying it at the perfect time before he got kicked in the face.
Yep.
Just great stuff.
And I didn't expect that out of Seth. Sorry, I don't know why I was like, did I say his name right? I didn't expect that out of him too. I was just like, oh, all right. I mean, yeah, he's like, "I got my eye on you, you son of a bitch. You're telling me to keep my eye on you? Well, I got it, and you don't want that."
So I want to say one more thing about Punk, and it's something that I think I had a realization I had when I was talking about Punk with my brother, and it was the fact that, like, I used to think of him as, okay, I might not like him, but I think he might be a decent guy. And now that I'm kind of seeing all the stuff, because he's always been behind, like, you know, trans rights and stuff, definitely pop. You know, he is an asshole who just might happen to be on the right side of history about some of the good stuff. Like, he's just, that's all I'm saying. Like, I guess, okay, yeah, you're right about, you know, being on the right side of, rights for everyone. But, yeah, why you got to be a dick at certain times of the day? But I'm liking everything. We'll see what happens later.
I will say, as the queerest member of our triumvirate, that I think that a lot of the statements about talking about Seth's lifts and talking about Drew's kilt and comparing that to the bullshit that Roman said on Fridays about Seth, I think that is a little overblown. If you personally are offended by that, that's fine. I don't think what Punk said about those things specifically rate compared to the stuff that Roman has been saying. Like, the one thing he said The thing that I thought that was really interesting is the statement of, "The most interesting thing about you, Seth, is your wife." And to be clear, I am a longtime Seth Rollins fan. Becky Lynch is tremendously more interesting than Seth Rollins to me. But I don't know that was it. I think it was Punk that said that. It might have been McIntyre. I don't know. I actually really liked that segment for the most part. I could have done without CM Punk daring Drew McIntyre to say the name Vince McMahon. That was kind of fucked to me. There's no reason to be like, oh, hey, let's evoke this terrible thing that's bad press for us and is literally about a terrible miscarriage of power. Like,
so much would have been written about him just saying a one word. So, like, yeah, him trying to just bait him into it was just kind of, eh.
All that being said, I really liked Cody's promo, Mr. TBZ.
Yes, Cody had the better promo in this. He won the war of promos. And I want to just say that this promo wasn't great, and it wasn't great because of Punk. It was the thing that I didn't like the most about it, and it that's not great when it's the centerpiece of your fucking segment. So, like, I mean to say, I liked Drew, I liked Seth, I liked their interactions, I liked the way that Drew provoked Punk, but I didn't like anything Punk did. Like you said, when he's on the mat and stuff like that, like falling over, being like, oh, they're interrupting my time. They're interrupting what, sir? Your fucking circle jerk with the city of fucking Chicago? You, that promo wasn't even good. There were times when you were like trying to get the crowd to like cheer you and nobody fucking responded. I'm like, dude, you are losing this crowd. They're all like, cool, you're from Chicago, but what the fuck are you doing?
The thing I thought about that was it was not a very WWE promo.
Yep.
It was actually a very AEW promo where everyone is at, where it's not scripted. It's everyone's kind of talking off the top of their head. And it ran a little long.
I wonder if that was because of Punk. Because Punk was, they're like, what are you going to do out there? He's like, I'm going to wing it. And they're like, are you sure about that? And they're like, I'm going to wing it.
But here's the thing. I think that worked about it. Like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about anything that CM Punk said, except for it made the interactions between Seth and Drew more interesting. Like, I'm fine with taking a shit on CM Punk. I'll do it all day long. I will eat 10 ice cream bars and get a big lactose engaged. Whoa. I know. I will eat 10 ice cream bars and get a lot of lactose in my stomach, take a big old shit on Phil Brooks. That's fine. However, I feel like in taking that shit on him, he made the Seth versus Drew piece more interesting, because up until now I've thought, oh, Seth is too focused on the bloodline and Drew McIntyre is just gonna run him over like a Scottish freight train. Mr. Rizzo,
you took my ice cream thing to the next level. I kind of like, did. Where your head's at. I mean, yeah,
I did. I saw a recipe today for a Tres Leches cake based off of a strawberry sundae bar ice cream.
I saw your video, and I wanted to try to make it for Easter, and I'm going to see if I can figure it out, because I wanted to try that too. That
it's
looks awesome.
So delicious. Looks I want to get all that dairy in my stomach and take a big old shit on Phil Brooks. But all that being said, I thought that the Cody promo, where he came out and said, even though, yeah, he pointed at the WrestleMania sign at the Royal Rumble, it's like, you know what I haven't done on TV since then? I haven't pointed at the sign.
With
and I'm going to point, and I want to, and I can't do it without all of you. And you know what? That is the biggest babyface thing I could ever see. He has all this power. He points at the sign. Bam. Out comes the final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And here's what I have to ask. Could you guys read The Rock's lips?
No. No, I could not.
I did. I was surprised I was like one of the few, because like he told us exactly what he was going to do at the end of the show. It was kind of cool.
I'm going to make you bleed.
And then Cody later interviewed going, not telling us yet what he said. He goes, it's a promise that he can't keep. And I'm like, well, I guess that's because it's still PG and maybe they don't have the approval to do real blood. But it's the TKO fucking boss. He can do whatever he wants.
Man.
Vampire blood, right?
The intro. Man. The entrance to The Rock was pretty cool during Cody's promo.
Oh, yeah.
It
we got to get back to that.
Good so stuff. Cool.
Good stuff.
I
like, as, hold on, as, hold on, hold on. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, RB. And I'm sorry to take this for a second. We're going to keep with the entrance. For it. Are we talking about the entrance of when his music hit, when he interrupted Cody? Or are we talking about how I thought he just kind of showed up out of nowhere and beat the crap out of Cody backstage? Because I thought both were just as cool.
Both were very cool. I thought
we were talking about the promo, yeah.
Another wrestling podcast made the comparison that when The Rock's music changes, because he comes out to like his face music, the electrifying music, and then it goes bam, bam, bam.
It slows it down.
Boom.
It like slows down to a halftime, and it just
and it gets dark.
It gets to Undertaker time, should I say?
And it goes to his old heel music, and like it's very clear what they're doing now. And I saw the comparison that the way it went dark, and then the lightning strikes, and he comes back, comparing it to Thanos appearing on the battlefield in Wakanda. He is the final boss, Mr. TBZ.
Well, I mean, it says so on his entrance thing. I swear that this was a different Videotron this week. Or they put the crowd, like, closer. Because it felt like it was wider. So, like, more of the Videotron was behind the crowd. And this is what I noticed, is they had the... So when The Rock came out, they didn't do their usual, oh, let's cut to him on the ramp. They did a, let's cut behind Cody. So we got Cody's back, and he's looking, like, we're seeing what Cody's seeing, and you just see two lightning bolts strike down, and it almost looked like it struck the crowd. I was like, whoa, that's okay. I thought, like, I remember, I just thought it would be closer in to The Rock entering.
It was incredibly cinematic. From what I understand, the choice was made to cut down on the size of the Titantron to get more fans in. But the effect is that it is as wide as it was before, but it's half as tall. So there are fans behind it. So you're seeing it through a sea of fans. And because of how much shorter it is, it seems wider. Because to be clear, I watched this week's Raw immediately after watching last week's SmackDown. And it's the same set for Raw and SmackDown in the modern era. It's the giant, 8K superboard. And the difference between... I believe, if I remember the way I watched it, I watched the Rock concert, followed by last week's SmackDown, followed by this week's Raw, just to refresh myself on everything, because there was a lot of context to the is the build up more about The Rock versus Cody or Roman Reigns versus Cody, which is an interesting question. But I thought it was so cool to see the difference between how, even though they use the same music and did some similar transitions, the difference between the final boss entrance versus The Rock's entrance before The Rock concert, which we discussed on last week's episode. Find us on Spotify.
What a plug.
In the background, you guys couldn't hear it because I muted myself, but I kept the entire time I had Rock's like heel entrance music, but like the old one where you heard in the background, Rock says...
Rock says, know your damn role.
Rock says,
and like, his role over and over is again. The final boss.
Know your role and shut your mouth.
Rock says. So yeah,
I thought I thought that initial promo was really cool. I thought coming in at the end. So let's set. So the main event of Monday Night Raw was main event Jey Uso versus
Shinsuke
Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura, who I think is a favorite of all of us.
Yes, I think it's fair to say we all love Nakamura.
I think it'd be hard not to love Nakamura. And it was
unless you're AJ Styles.
Yeah, unless you're AJ Styles. I thought it was a fine match that was really just there to set up the backstage brawl that we got to see. So to set it up, main event Jey Uso is fighting Shinsuke Nakamura. As you might expect, it was interrupted by Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa, at which point Seth and Cody come out to defend Jey. There's a schmoz. I don't even know if that match got a pinfall. Did it? Does it matter? It doesn't. Because the important thing that happened is Solo Sikoa and Cody are fighting in the background. They're fighting towards the doors. And then out of nowhere, one Drock the Wayne Johnson comes out of nowhere and, to be clear, beats the ever living fuck out of Cody Rhodes.
I want to say I enjoyed the fight. The fact that it was raining, add to that to it. You know, we kind of got lucky with that one too.
So it was out in the parking lot?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you not see this?
I saw a black and white image of Cody being beaten by The Rock, man, with that belt that said Mama Rhodes.
Okay. Yeah.
What made it good too
was the picture of Pharaoh right behind him.
By the way, Brian, Jay won that match with a spear.
Thank you very much.
And I would have liked The Rock to maybe just try to put some blood on the bus picture of Pharaoh, which I thought would have been just a little bit extra, a little bit funny. But I loved everything about
what the final frames were: a beaten up and very bloodied Cody Rhodes sagging against the American Nightmare bus, his head, the blood coming through his blonde hair. In contrast to the pure white of Pharaoh's beautiful face. Also, fuck you, The Rock, for saying that Pharaoh looks goofy. Fuck you.
Yeah, but I like how they did have the bus backwards, so we got an advertisement for Cody's vodka.
We did get it.
That's awesome.
So there's two really interesting things about this. One, the fact that it was raining, and somehow it's probably the difference between cotton and silk. I used to sell clothes. That's probably what the difference was. Cody was absolutely soaked to the bone, and The Rock somehow looked like the rain wasn't even fucking touching him.
Well, that's what you get with Versace, I guess. Like, when you spend how much money on whatever that material is, it's going to do what it does.
Listen, when you're the final boss, you get the rain wet.
The Ooh. Second thing Ooh, that was interesting TBZ, about
that was
that,
so great.
The second thing that was interesting about that was the fact that a lot of this fight took place in front of a WWE truck featuring one Jonathan Cena and one Stone Cold Stephen Austin.
Yeah, I heard it after the fact of seeing that too, that there's some rumors of those guys maybe showing up at all at Mania. So the fact that we just showed up outside and the one trailer that they have in view is a picture of both of them right there. So, yeah, we shall see what we get in 2 weeks or all 9 days. 9 days? Right, 8 days?
As of right now, it is to peel back the curtain for all of our listeners out there. As of right now, it is 9:20 p.m.
9 days.
On Thursday before WrestleMania. As of right now, who do you think is winning the main event on the Sunday of WrestleMania?
Cody motherfucking Rhodes.
You are muted on your mic, sir.
Roman Reigns.
Really?
Whoa! Reigns. Whoa.
We ain't done. He's got records to beat, and we almost there. You're not going to fumble. You ain't fumbling the ball on the 1 yard line here. You got to go all the way, baby. It's Roman Reigns. He's going to win. And still.
The records to cash are literally like 2,000 days away. Do you really? To catch up with Bruno Sammartino, he's got to put another 2,000 days on this record.
I mean, Cody's still got to finish that story, doesn't he?
My inclination, what my expectation is, and we've delved into the nation of speculation the last couple of weeks. Here's my
That's all thought. We can do at this point.
That's all we can't. Well, I mean, we're a wrestling podcast. We got to talk about what we think is going to happen.
I was just referring to how you said we were ready for WrestleMania 2 weeks ago.
We were ready for WrestleMania.
That's what I'm saying. So now all we can do is speculate.
Yeah, absolutely. My inclination is still, the Bloodline is going to win on night one. And in...
100%.
And against Bloodline rules, Cody is going to overcome, which will allow for a major moment where literally everyone can run in, including Stone Cold and John Cena.
See, here's all y'all's problem. you think you watch an Endgame and it's really only Infinity War. You're going to bring out everybody and you're going to be like, we got him. We're going to beat him. And then The Rock goes, nah, now we got the Endgame time. And that's WrestleMania next year.
Like I said before in my thing, maybe I'm wrong about who wins night one, but I think night two is still going to be Cody. But I was thinking that we got to get some kind of tiff, if you will, between Roman Reigns and The Rock to start somewhere. So maybe next year we can have those two wrestle. I don't know. That's my guess. We shall see.
My inclination is that I've used the I sank my cups defense for what I think is going to happen. I think The Rock is going to get the pin on night one and that Roman's not going to get the pin on night two. And that's going to be the thing to set up.
That's enough.
Hey, that's enough. To me, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could do that. Roman could just show up the next day and rip the damn lay off him. So yeah, that could happen.
Cody showed up at SmackDown and said, Rock, how can you just said you are the high chief, you know, and you know, we've already talked about the Bloodline video that WrestleTalk put out. He said, you're the high chief and you are allowing yourself to be subservient to this man. And The Rock said, yeah, that's what you do for family. And you know what? Cool. That works for me. That's enough of a justification for me. But it's also enough justification so that when Roman fumbles the ball, that's when The Rock is going to step in with his power as the high chief, with his power as the head of the board of TKO. I think that's where the story goes from here. And I think that realistically, if after the winner of the 2023 and 2024 Royal Rumble doesn't finish his story, listen, there's a part of me that hopes that they don't do it just to see what the fans do. But I don't think that Triple H as a booker is going to want to tempt that particular bit of fate. Mr. TBZ.
Question for you, boys.
Yeah.
Why is finishing the story winning? Why doesn't the story just end with Cody losing and never fucking getting that belt?
Because it's wrestling and you only retire when you die.
I didn't say he retired. He just doesn't win the belt. That's the end of the story. We move on to the next Cody version. The end of the story.
He always fights for the... Just because he doesn't... He will always be fighting for the belt until he dies. Or he gets it. That's when the story ends.
Realistically, that is how... Like, that's not even wrestling. That is...
Maybe this is the epic heel turn for Cody. He's going to lose, and then he's going to be like, all right, well, now I'm going to be a shit heel, and that's how he wins the belt, because he's not heel enough.
Well, that's not ending the story.
That is, that's the end of the story. Then he becomes heel. That's a new story of him winning the belt.
No, it's like a different chapter of the damn book. It's not a new,
gentlemen.
It's the sequel. It's the sequel. That book ended at WrestleMania when he fucking loses, and he goes, fine, I can't be a face anymore. Sequel time, new book with chapters about how I win this belt.
3 years ago, Tony Khan and mostly Cody Rhodes fumbled the ball during the Anthony Ogogo storyline when Cody Rhodes, first of all, claimed to have defeated racism and then decided to shit talk a guy who was just a cool guy who went to the Olympics. And the only thing making him negative was that he was in a faction with QT Marshall. Like, there is nothing, like, it was a bad choice to do that. It was a worse choice to have him do those 8 or 7 promos that made it so that Cody Rhodes as a face in AEW was never going to work again. The fans totally turned against him. And I think that's why he ends up in WWE, because at the end of the day, the guy who Cody Rhodes is and was and would always be
and wants to
is the blonde-eyed babyface that was a better babyface than John Cena ever could have been.
Or CM Punk.
And I fuck CM Punk. CM Punk is not.
Well, I mean, he proved that this week. He showed he was better.
Cody Rhodes, the baby. I know sometimes we say, hey, we don't want to mention other people. But there was something very specific about Cody Rhodes' promo 2 weeks ago when he was crying. And on WrestleTalk, Luke Owen says, that's the kind of thing that I'm supposed to hate. I should hate that because it's fake. But I don't think it's fake. That is who Cody Rhodes is. That is who Dusty Rhodes was. Cody Rhodes is that bitch when it comes to being a super over babyface. And the fact that it failed in AEW means he had to go to WWE. And I don't hate him for doing that. And I think he's going to finish his story by winning. And what happens afterwards? Frankly, I don't care. I don't care if Cody Rhodes loses on the SmackDown after WrestleMania and the belt goes on to some other heel. But I think right now, this story needs to finish in a beneficial way or the fans are going to absolutely have a shit. TBZ.
It's actually Jade Cargill is that bitch. It's not Cody Rhodes.
Well just done. Well said. That's a good way to end that so we can talk more stuff. Absolutely. That was perfect.
So moving on. I don't know. Do we have anything else on WWE we want to talk about? I feel like we covered the spread. The only thing was Michael Cole. Did we talk about him?
We could talk about Michael Cole riding John Cena's dick later. Sure. if we even get to it.
Okay. Well then.
All right. Let's keep it with some more wrestling instead of other whatever riding.
Let's cross the street to the other stadium for AEW Dynamite.
Yes, yes, yes. What are we sticking with? What are we starting with over there on the Tony Khan's?
Let's start with the first match that happened on Dynamite. Osprey.
I agree. Let's start with the thing that Tony Khan started with. What a fucking great match! And whether or not it actually meant absolutely fucking nothing, Will Ospreay, the aerial assassin, versus one Katsuyori Shibata. I loved this match, and I also hated this match.
Why?
Right, you have to keep going because we got an inkling of this kind of opinion about what you're thinking about this stuff, but we didn't get to hear all of it. So let's where are you going with that?
For the honkers at home, contextually, RB dubbed this match a heatless honker, and I said to RB, I don't think I know what heatless honker means anymore because I don't feel this was a heatless honker. This match honked. I was like,
it honk.
It was dynamite, my friend.
When you go into a match between arguably the best wrestler in the world, one William Bruv Ospreay, against one of the greatest technical strong style wrestlers in the world, Katsuyori Shibata, that was just mentioned, like when this match was announced on Dynamite last week, it was like my reaction when Danielson came out at the end of the Shibata match or at the end of the Ospreay match. I'm like, holy shit, we're gonna get something great. And the match itself was great, but what does this do for Katsuyori Shibata?
Hold on. You can keep going. I'm not trying to stop you, but this exactly sounds like, what is his legacy? What is Sting's legacy? It's anyway, go on, RV.
What does this do for Katsuyori Shibata? What does this actually do for the Ospreay story other than have him get another win ahead of his match against Danielson, which I also expect him to win?
Mr. Rizzo, do you want to take this one or me?
Well, I'd say that, like, I thought they gave us enough story with the background of the last time that they fought when Shibata beat him, and then he got the win back. So now they're 1-1, and maybe they'll wrestle again if Shibata actually joins the Blackpool Combat Club. But anyway, that's where I'm at.
Which, to be clear, here's my question. Did either of you think that Katsuyori Shibata was going to win this match before?
Sadly, I hate to prove his point, but no, I did not. But watching this match, there were times when I was like, maybe he might pull out a dub on this one.
So there are matches that we watch from week to week where, as wrestling fans, we know what's going to happen. I brought this up during the build-up to the triple threat at the last pay-per-view, which I think was Revolution, that very obviously they were building towards Hangman versus Swerve and then to the triple threat. I did not like this match for the same reason I didn't like... So take it back a month and a half. Bryan Danielson versus Hechi Sero, which was a fucking honker and a half. I see Mr. Rizzo is shaking his head. I'm beating a drum I have beaten before.
I don't know what you're saying. This match is great, and you keep talking about other stuff, but I want to know what makes you not really like this match. You're like, it was so cool that I didn't like it, and I'm kind of confused. I really don't know.
I just want something to have stakes. Like, I understand. So in the case of this match, we had like 2 or 3 minutes of a video package talking about when Shibata and Ospreay fought for the Rev Pro British title. Like, that was something that is in their history. And there is something in AEW where it's like, oh, hey, this thing that hasn't happened, we're going to make it happen, and we're only going to tell you very briefly, without building it on our TV, that this thing is going to happen and that it's going to be cool. And the fact that it's cool doesn't undermine the fact that story-wise, it does absolutely fucking nothing. It does nothing for Ospreay.
Gives him a win over Shibata. Now he's 1-1.
But it does nothing for...
I don't know. I keep finding holes in every part of you going like, I liked it, but it wasn't that good. And I would say maybe my thinking of the way AEW normally books their stuff is majority of their stuff has some stakes, and the few times they don't, we know they're just going to be a really good match, so it doesn't matter. And I feel the exact opposite with WWE. Majority of their stuff don't have any stakes, and then every once in a while they do, and it's, you know, that's kind of cool. But like, I'm still not, I knew what was going to happen and I was excited to see it. I didn't really need to have any other angle for it.
And I was not a part of this podcast at the time when Wrestle Kingdom happened. And I think I called the end of every match at Wrestle Kingdom, but because it was the ending of a story, because Naito beating Sanada meant something because of all that had happened before it.
I don't know. I think you're reading into too much other stuff besides what you just watched. Like, you're supposed to sit down and have some fun watching wrestling, and you're like, oh,
and I
man,
did have
like,
fun watching
it was so it. Good. I liked watching wrestling, but then like, I'm not supposed to like this. It's not at all. I don't know. That's kind of like a weird get I got.
You're
it's funny.
Not wrong. That's the thing that, like, I want to just be like, yeah, that fucking honked. It slapped so hard. And it did slap that hard. For that matter, so did Swerve versus Konosuke Takeshita. Another match that we all knew who was going to win that match.
I had
more of a chance for Don Callis getting involved and pushing Swerve down and him getting even more mad and trying to get more. I had more doubt on that one for the main event.
I had literally the exact same amount of doubt. Maybe Maybe I'm just too much of a smark. Maybe I'm just hurting myself.
But then even if that's the case, you should still enjoy what it is going in.
I did enjoy it.
Put yourself in the place of, like, I booked the match. Then enjoy it. Like, I hope this plays out exactly the way I want it to be. And then don't get mad at it. Like, I don't know. That's kind of how I usually do stuff, too. Like, if I'm expecting it, I'm just saying, like, well, that's my plan. I hope it plays out that way and everyone's safe and everyone goes home happy. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't know.
We must be living in bizarro world, Mr. Rizzo, because I was like, you know, RB sounds like TBZ right now. I need a match to have stakes and stuff like that. I think I've said this on previous episodes. And I was just like, I don't. Here's the thing for me. It's the first fucking match on Dynamite. You want like a championship match as the first match? Come on, man.
Two weeks ago, we got Samoan Joseph versus Wardlow for the AEW championship as the first match on Dynamite.
So you're welcome.
Don't bring that kindling unless you want this smoke, TBZ.
I want that smoke because I'm just going to say, yeah, you don't want to have it for every week. It's got to be a sometimes food, not an all the time food. All right.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It was just funny to.
Go ahead, RB.
Just parting comment. I like how I got your take on it before I watched it. And when I watched it, I was just like, this is weird. Like, I'm fine with this match. It's maybe a bit, it started a bit slow, sure, but I was just like, what do you expect from these guys? Osprey fucking killed it.
It was a New Japan match. They had a New Japan match in AEW. I loved it.
And the story they're telling is Osprey needs to go undefeated into his match with Danielson. That's the story. He needs as much fodder as he can, and we're going to throw all the, quote, New Japan stars, I believe. I've said this on another episode. Who's the Bulldog? Mr. Rizzo, help me out here, please.
The Stone Pit Bulldog.
Yeah, yeah, like, these guys are, like, New Japan stars they bring in because of that, like, the Forbidden Door thing, and it's just kind of like, they bring them around to be like, hey, let's get you accustomed to a New Japan match, but they're not here to win. They're not here to take belts. They're here to just kind of rub elbows and be like, see how these wrestling styles mesh together.
Now you understand territory wrestling.
I want Kojima to win. I want Kojima to win. Suzuki to win. I want Katsuyori Shibata to win.
Then go watch New
Japan. Just once. No, go watch ROH, apparently.
Yes, this is the case. And I'd say, like, as much, I don't know, I think I'm like 100% on board with this, but it's just because of the way that they had run the show. And when I mean by they, I mean Tony Khan and AEW, is that they made the rest of the world a large territory wrestling style, like back in like the old like territories for most of the U.S. WWE usually did not interact with people. It was just them and that's it. Where AEW is like, we got CMLL, we got New Japan, we got a bunch of different people that we're working with all the time. But now, like we said last week, WWE is starting to get into like blood sport, so they're going to start dipping their toes and doing the same thing. But it's kind of cool. But I do agree with you a little bit. I want to see guys come to the territory and shock people. Like, oh shit, I was expecting this guy to blow him out, and it didn't happen.
Shibata needs to become All Elite if he wants to start winning some belts.
He is All Elite! He got the Chiron. He is All Elite. He is a former ROH Pure Champ. Sorry, that's not. I apologize for getting heated. Because when I take a look at my opinion on this, I think back to the original FTR versus the Young Bucks match. Where so many people were talking about how there was absolutely no build to that match, except for the fact that on AEW TV, there was no build to that match.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
But there had, like, being the Elite had a running joke of fuck the Revival. That's how FTR got their name. FTR means fuck the Revival, because Cody said it once to say, because he thought that the Young Bucks were a better tag team than FTR. and FTR shows up and they immediately come in and they win the fucking titles. And that match fucking slapped. And there were a lot of people who were like, there was no build to that match. Why are you doing that match with no build? And I thought they were fucking idiots. But that took that sat in the back of my head. And every time another match has happened, Henshi Saro versus Brian Danielson, Kojima versus Eddie Kingston, Tomohiro Ishii versus Jon Moxley. Every time one of those matches happens, that little kernel in the back of my head grew a little bit bigger. And it's just, I would like to see something more with any of that. But all that being said, the Young Bucks on TV this week had a match against Private Party. Oh my God, is that Private Party?
What is this voice he's doing right now? All I wanted to say was this match didn't have any build, but this is what I was talking about earlier. This is an AEW, I'm using air quotes here, dream match. It doesn't need build. It's you want to see these two fucking wrestlers go at it. That's it.
I did want to see these two fucking wrestlers.
There you go. It's a dream match. That's the story. And it happened to also be Ospreay.
I was excited about it last week. I was so excited about it last week. We talked about it on last week's show.
I want the thing. Here you go. No! I don't want it!
I'm a toddler! I'm a toddler! Give me some mac and cheese and an ice cream bar and maybe a discount coupon or rebate on some of the
Well, good news, because here comes Private Party, as you said.
Oh my God, is that Private... Speaking of matches... So I thought, so there were two matches in the tag tournament this week.
There were.
Private Party versus the EVPs, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson.
The and Young also Bucks.
The Young Bucks. If you, the Young Bucks. And also the Kingdom from the Undisputed Kingdom. Is that what they're called? I don't know.
United Kingdom.
The United... No, they're not.
Undisputed Kingdom.
That's England. England is the United Kingdom. The Undisputed Era. The King... It's the Undisputed Kingdom.
Their name is dumb. Let's just all agree that it's dumb. Moving on.
The tag team that has wrestled for 10 years as the Kingdom. Matt Taven and Maria Kanellis' husband. Because my brain is burned out. Mike Kanellis. Not Mike Kanellis. Mike, what's his actual name? Because they called him Mike Kanellis because Maria Kanellis, because she was more famous in WWE. His name is Mike...
I don't know, man.
Doesn't
You're
matter.
On the struggle bus here. It doesn't.
It doesn't matter. Those were... Both of those tag matches slapped. And...
Honk, honk.
Honk, honk, honk. I thought that they, so for all this conversation that we've had about these matches that we knew the ending of, overall, there's not a world where the Young Bucks don't win that match.
Not true. They told us throughout this entire match that actually Private Party won last time against the Young Bucks.
And that's the thing. Like, in the modern world, it's sort of the Cody thing. Cody losing the title and never getting to challenge again. The equivalent of that as a tag is the Young Bucks losing in the initial tournament. And I think that built into this match, but the actual match itself had enough moments where I was like, hey, maybe they actually will do it again. Even though in my head, I'm like, there's no way the Young Bucks don't win this match.
I'd say that Mr. the Rizzo. Only way that they might have happened would have been like chicanery from like an ultra babyface tag team that I don't really see there on the roster. So, yeah, I wasn't really thinking that anyone else was going to cause them to lose the match. So, yeah, it was pretty solid on my end thinking the Bucks were going to go through here. But keeping along the lines of the tag team, the whole tournament, and I think when I first looked at this, this updated bracket – with the few teams they have on without the wild card matches and whatever crap that was, and I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, looking at the bracket, I think a lot of people are expecting us to get a rematch of FTR and the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what most likely will happen before that is going to be Big Bill and Ricky Starks versus FTR.
And that match is going to honk.
I'm actually hoping and expecting Ricky Starks and Big Bill to have a match, maybe not so much win, but they can at least maybe turn face against the Bucks, and they can have a rivalry that would lead to them having another match later. So that was something I just thought would be kind of cool. I don't know.
So you think that FTR is going to lose
to Ricky and Big Bill?
Big Bill Morrissey. That would be great.
That'd be like, cool.
So interestingly enough, that's sort of the comparison that I'm making here. In story rise, there was never a world where I thought that the Private Party was going to lose or was going to win. But the fact that they kept saying it kind of fed me the copium to think, hey, maybe it will happen. Maybe it will happen. And the actual storytelling in the match was like, hey, maybe the faces will overcome. And they did a spot with the bell and then the belt. And it's like, holy shit. Maybe Private Party. Oh my God. Did Private Party just win? No, they didn't. But they made me for a second, until there was a great big kick in the dick, I thought that they could. And that, to bring it back to the previous conversation, I thought they could win. And as good as Shibata versus Ospreay was, I didn't think Shibata was ever going to win. But hell of a match. I hope that Private Party gets a push from this. I can't wait to see what happens. My expectation... So Mr. Rizzo, your expectation is that Starks and Big Bill will come out of the East.
That's not my expectation. I most likely think we're going to get a rematch of FTR and Bucks. I'm just looking at the bracket saying, like, that's kind of cool story. I like that. Maybe it's kind of different. But most likely, we're just going to get a rematch of FTR and Young Bucks at Dynasty. Which I'll be fine with because I know who the winner's going to be, but I'm going to like the match of Dynasty. I don't know.
Who's the winner, Rizzo?
Probably the Bucks.
Young Bucks.
And they're going to cheat to do it. And then FTRs will be, that's all. But, yeah. Anyway, where are we at next with AEW? What else did we have on the schedule?
CEO on commentary and basically a human soundboard. CEO.
I don't know. I thought she called out the Blue Thunder or shit? What the hell is it called? What's Blue Sky's finisher? She called it out before it happened. I thought it was that was kind of funny. And Taz is like, "Ooh, you good job! You called it out before that even happened."
I mean, she's the most noted women's professional wrestler outside of WWE. How would she know what wrestling moves are going to happen?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that was mean. I'm being a mean girl right now.
Why?
I don't know, man.
Like, I thought that was nice or neat that they had her call that move, like, during the match.
I think both you guys, maybe I'm wrong. I'll hold up before putting this on both you guys. Are you not really liking the build that we're getting to start the show of the CEO? Because
no, I'm not.
When they have a ranking system, she can't just jump to the top of the line and just, like, wrestle people. Hey, this is me. How you doing? Someone didn't even interrupt. So she did her finisher, and then she showed up again, and then she's on commentary. Like, okay, maybe she should have wrestled within a week or two, but okay, let's see where it goes.
it for me, it's very, this is going to be the part where I'm basically calling myself out, where I'm saying, I would like for things to be different and for stories to be different, but I don't like this story that is different from what we've already gotten.
Is it just 2 weeks with Mercedes, or is this three?
This is week three.
So first week she debuted.
Last week she did the same promo she did from the first week. This week she showed up to be on commentary for the other match. And I'm like, I would like her to do something other than just like be attacked by Sky Blue and Julia Hart and get bailed out by Willow, who she doesn't like because Willow held onto a chair for too long. I do want a different story, but also Okada and Ospreay came out and were immediately wrestling.
Yep.
And I get that Mercedes is coming off of an injury.
I have a question.
And I get that. Yes, sir.
Last week.
Yes, sir.
Was the Mercedes thing the main event?
No, last week the main event was the TNT Championship Adam Copeland.
That was 2 weeks ago, you're thinking, Mr. Rizzo.
Okay, the reason I was asking was I was wondering, as much as we hadn't seen her wrestle, which I will agree with you on, I wonder if she, in the last 3 weeks, and I think I'm wrong about this, the first week, you know, the show was about her. The second week, not so much. But the third week, the main event was the ladies. So I'm just like, hey, you got to have the ladies be the main event.
That was the first week, she opened the show, and Riho and Willow was the main event. At the end of that match, she did the save for Willow.
Okay, so that's
the
one.
Second week, she came out in the middle of the... But the main event that week was the tag street fight. And yes. No one does a street fight back. Like,
they moved the ladies to the bat. That's maybe. That's enough.
They did. But. Versus this week, it was the 9 p.m. I believe that match was the 9 p.m. starter, which is a quality position. The end of the match was in Overrun, Swerve versus Konosuke Takeshita.
Gotcha.
Which we haven't really talked about. And I don't think we're going to get to talk about, but it fucking honked.
It was a honker as well. Dynamite was it had some good matches this week.
Dynamite was very...
Sorry, we went long.
I'm talking a lot of shit about...
What are we even talking
about? I knew it. I'm sorry. I knew that we did that to you, and I apologize.
We're talking... This all started with, I wish Mercedes had had a fucking match already.
Oh, yeah, you had stuff about Mercedes' outfit, right?
The topic of, like, you know, am I bored and tired and not excited about the story Mercedes is going on? This week, I didn't mind it. Like, yeah, I was on RB's side here where I was just like, do fucking something. Her being on commentary was fine. I was like, that's fine. You are putting her out there and she's not doing anything. Honestly, though, I remember my reaction to it in our group chat here that, like, I thought it was a fatal five way, and you're like, it's a fatal four way. I was like, wait, what? Oh, fuck, man. Like, get her in the ring already. But,
and I think that's
she feels like CM Punk, where it's like she's involved in the match for something at Dynasty and she's not even involved in it. But we're still, like, bringing her around and being like, hey, look, she's here. And it's like, but what is she doing? Like, is she in a match? Is she going to fight for the winner?
Where's my Boston cream donut?
Because I wanted to say the suit. I didn't care for the suit. Get her in a fucking regular suit. It's a suit except for the breasts. And then we just cut it out and it's all out there for show.
Honestly, I thought
get her a damn pantsuit. That's all I'm saying.
I thought she looked fucking dope. What I think you're wrong. I thought she looked cool. I thought her hair went well with the outfit. Here's my problem.
I just don't like how they're womanizing her. Or sexualizing her.
I don't think they're sex.
You think that she was put in that outfit without her approval?
No, no. I was just saying, I was just
like, do you think they're treating her like a diva, like Liv Morgan? Sorry. I thought the outfit was cool. So I thought she dressed the way she wanted to dress. I thought her hair looked fucking dope. My problem is purely the fact that they're building her to be the person who's going to fight. I would assume Willow's beating Julia Hart so that at whatever the next pay-per-view is, it's going to be Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale as a talk back to the strong title that they had a match for.
It does seem like that. Yeah.
It seems like that. And my whole thing is they're building towards this pay-per-view and she still hasn't had a fucking match. Like, let her have
Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill had 60 fucking matches in AEW.
No, I was talking about WWE.
I know you're talking about WWE.
And she's going to show up on SmackDown this week, and then she may start a match or be part of a match on WrestleMania. But yes, we still haven't heard her at all. That's all I'm saying.
But Sasha Banks is one of the four horsewomen. And Jade Cargill got carried through, admittedly, a bunch of athletically impressive but wrestlingly shitty matches on AEW.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Mercedes Moné have a fucking match. Put her out there. You know what? If it's going to be Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale, I want to see Mercedes Moné versus Sky Blue next week. And the week and the go-home show for Dynasty, I want to see her against Chris Statlander.
I gotta say something. You did mention about Liv Morgan being a diva. Does that mean that she also wasn't want to put the straps on her feet like that? Like she didn't approve that? They made her do that? I thought that was rough on her. Those straps were distracting a few weeks ago. I thought she was gonna trip on herself. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think you can force Liv Morgan to do anything she doesn't want to do.
That, I don't think you should be able to do that to anyone, but yes, that should be the case.
I mean, she's into a lot of shit, so she's DTF, if you know what I mean. Down to fun. What are you thinking?
Whoa. All I'm saying is I can't wait for Liv Morgan to challenge whoever wins the Becky versus Rhea match at WrestleMania.
It's going to be Rhea. There. And then Liv can be a suffer puppet for Rhea at the next pay-per-view.
Stop using my terms.
What? It's accurate, though. She is a suffer puppet.
She's not a suffer puppet. Darby Allin is the...
Go watch their match against Ronda Rousey when they're all like, look, she's smiling while she's being tapped out.
I withdraw my statement. You're 100% correct. That is how WWE chose to portray her. Yes. I am wrong. You are right. I'm going to go... throw myself into Casanova's
grave. Because that's what everybody loves about Liv Morgan.
It's not what everyone loves about Liv Morgan. It's that Liv Morgan is a very good wrestler. And she has overcome what was her very bad NXT.
I'm from
New Jersey.
Well, see, look what I started. I just wanted to talk about her straps.
TBZ just said that Liv Morgan was aight. I win. I have won the podcast. I am retiring from podcast.
But keep in mind, I is like a ranking in 2K24 of like 75 to 85.
That all he was going to say was her ranking on the game.
It's too damn high! It's too damn high!
I actually thought that you were saying that was okay. And that her actually wrestling wasn't. But her ranking was, that's where I thought you were going. I think you made it worse. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was just talking about her straps, and I thought she was going to fall over and trip on them. That's all I was. They were distracting. But yeah.
I have no idea what that reference is.
A few weeks ago, like on her boots or her legs, they have like these straps that are locked around, and they're like, they're loose, and they're coming down, and they're like really close to her just like stepping on one and tripping. And it was just slightly distracting.
Like, it's like Jeff Hardy with that t-shirt he always has. I'm like, one of these days, he's just going to fucking get that caught on something. And he's just like, fuck.
Like the bondage straps that people had on their JNCO jeans when we were kids.
Yeah.
It looked the same. Like they. What's stupid is they didn't look like they were part of the boots.
I've seen you in those pants, TBZ.
Yes, you have.
Like, they just didn't look like they were part of the boots. They looked like she just decided to put extra straps around her legs. And they were looking like they were slightly falling off. And I'm
maybe she's doing her best Cenobite impression, you know?
To be clear, that was what her gear was when she was Miss New Jersey in the original NXT. That was what she wore to the ring while she was a jobber to the stars.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't.
She did.
She did not have these straps that I'm talking about, dude.
Okay.
Like, these look like Rhea Ripley looks like she'd wear these boots. They're all black. They're like black straps just wrapped around her legs. And it just looks like she's about to trip and fall over. That's all.
Didn't Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley used to be in a tag team?
They were.
What a time to be alive.
I forget what the name of it is. But yeah, I think there was a whole thing at
one point. You know what?
Like, they lift each other up and they got stuck on each other's like equipment. Like
You know, instead of reminiscing, we should look forward to the Tope. It's our Tope Suicida moment of the week.
I remembered to keep my mouth shut, but it's when we look forward to something into wrestling that we're going to talk about.
And he nailed it. Woo.
I even got a Tope this week, so it's great.
Huzzah.
Well, what's your tope, Mr. Rizzo?
That would be the Ring of Honor Supercard that I think we only know like three matches of at the moment, but it's next week, Friday the 5th, so by the time we probably won't talk about it next week, and then when our next week's episode comes out, it'll probably have already happened. So I wanted to get some eyes on it now. We got the two matches that I'm aware of would be Eddie Kingston versus Mark Briscoe. And I think Eddie is slowly losing belts. So this will be one that he loses again. Because, yeah, so that's going to happen. And then the other one is...
Sorry, Eddie, we love you, but you've been a champion for a while now.
The other one, which I'm not sure which may or may happen, because I'm not really watching the story as much. It's just I'm excited for the two ladies to go at it. And that would be Athena versus Sheeta. So then that's for... That's going to be pretty cool.
I am going to jump in. Athena versus Sheeta could be an absolute tier 12 banger. I am so excited for that match. But since it has already been mentioned, and that's like a week and a half away, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this week's collision, where we're going to get to see Top Flight, one of my favorite tag teams, against the aforementioned Ricky Starks and Big Bill. There was something specifically about the Sting and Darby match versus Big Bill and Ricky Starks. There is something when guys are flying at Big Bill, he looks amazing and he makes them look amazing. I am really excited to see how it is that Big Bill fucks up the life of Dante Martin in the course of what I expect to be their win, and who knows, maybe they won't win. TBZ, what is your Tope Suicida of the week?
It's only 9 sleeps till WrestleMania. That's my Tope. WrestleMania.
And what are we doing next week ahead of WrestleMania? Are we going to be taking a special look at something?
Bray Wyatt, Doc? Oh, no.
No, on the podcast. I'm actually really excited. The Bray Wyatt, Doc, I'm actually really excited for.
Me too. We should cover it on an episode. Maybe the one after WrestleMania. It'll be the...
Maybe one after WrestleMania, because on the match before WrestleMania, as we deal with a double barrel bloodline main event this year, I think maybe next week we will talk about last year's double barrel bloodline main event. A tag match on Saturday? A title match on Sunday? Maybe we're going to talk about main event Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. The Usos versus Sammy and Kevin. And then talk about yet another Cody and Roman match in comparison to this year's Bloodline versus Super Friends and Cody versus Roman Man.
I don't know why you made me think of Sami Zayn, and I want to watch the Johnny Knoxville Mousetrap match. Anyway, I also got
that
some
match
news to share
really
before we go.
Good.
I want some news to share before we say goodbye. and that would be
breaking news.
TBZ, I got my Walk with Elijah tickets.
Yes.
And fantastic. I bought VIP tickets. Walk
with Elijah.
I got VIP tickets.
Nice.
Do you know what that means?
I don't.
VIP.
I'm sitting in the balcony.
VIP.
Not only is the balcony above the ring, but it has its own bathroom and its own bar, and I think the wrestlers go and chill up there as well during the matches.
Nice.
So, I am excited. Yeah, going. I got my VIP tickets. So let's go see. I want to walk with Elijah. But yeah, let's get everyone over to our socials, interact with us online.
Well, hands up. My hands up. Doing a little self-promotion here. All right. Check me out on Not a Real Court podcast this Tuesday, where we will be discussing most watchable sport, and then we'll be doing a tournament of 2000s comedies. A decade. Hockey. A decade of comedies from 2000 on. So
Pineapple Express.
Watchable sport. Is marble racing considered a watchable sport?
Oh, is it considered a sport?
Yes.
Okay. You could argue that.
Unrelated shout out. Go to Jelly's Marble Races.
And here, I'll prove you wrong. I wouldn't fucking watch that.
Oh, that's man. Fair. You were not DraftKings depraved during the pandemic when that was one of the only few things that you could watch and bet on, my friend. And that was oh my God, that was so. It's the narration. It's not just the epic races. It's the guy narrating which emerald marble is going down the track. It was so much fun.
Well, I'm glad you're on that. You're kind of on the same line of thinking that I have. I'm going with the NNL, baby.
I don't know what the NNL is.
Let's go, Bandits.
Yeah, because the funny thing is I've had season tickets to the Bandits, and like it's changed leagues, I think, 3 times since I've had season tickets. So I was I think it's lacrosse, but when I was, it was MILL, Major Indoor Lacrosse League.
I say for the same reason, because I love that you know, with hockey, they're all like, turn off the music.
They play the music during the show. It's so great.
The DJ's like trying to fuck up the other team, being like, get loud, get in their face and stuff.
What's the best thing about the Bandits? What's the best thing about the Bandits?
The box?
B. The box?
All of that being said, please follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. We are at Wrestling Hawks, the same at got to take that one more time. Follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Wrestling Honks. We are the same at Blue Sky. You can follow us on our Honk If You Love Wrestling podcast Facebook group. Please, if you are listening to us now, give us a heart on Spotify. We really appreciate it. And Mr. Rizzo, why don't you tell us about that sweet, sweet email address that they can reach us at?
HonkIfYouLoveWrestling@gmail.com. Hit me up. Tell me about all your fun Easter plans or what you already on Easter. Depending when you're listening.
Or, you know, something about wrestling that you want us to talk about. We'll be happy to give it a listen. And you know
what?
Maybe if you've got an interesting take, you could join us as honkers on the Honk If You Love Wrestling podcast. But
and for now, all the honkers at home,
honk.
Honk it like it's hot.
Honk.